This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing a lot of sports with you on a Tuesday afternoon. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, it's another one, a hot afternoon that is. Hopefully it'll cool off a little bit later on, but we'll deal with it right here as we do each and every day right here on AM 870. It's good to have you with us talking the sports and talking about a variety of sports. We'll talk a lot of Michigan State sports today. I talked to a lot of the coaches and players yesterday, so we'll bring you some of the things that they said while we do the show. We'll hopefully have a guest today with Jeff Jadea. He's with ESPN.com, columnist there, fine writer. He's also written for Sports Illustrated. Hopefully we'll get a hold of Jeff and talk with him about what's going on in sports, and particularly in the NFL. He follows the NFL quite heavily, so we'll lean on his expertise and check in with him on the NFL, and that's what we'll do with him. But a lot of the talk today will be going on that we do will be with Michigan State's coaches and players right here on AM 870 WKAR. Spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR East Lansing. So we'll hear, and I'll be back out tomorrow. I'll probably be back at practice tomorrow, so maybe find out a little bit more stuff. But let's hear what Coach D'Antonio and several of the other coaches and players were saying yesterday about the upcoming season. So let's start out with Coach D'Antonio. And, we'll start out with it. I was going to say we'll save it, but let's start out with him talking about Boise State and what he expects in that very first game when they play Boise State.
I think they do a great job, obviously, offensively. A lot of different things, throw a lot of different formations at you. I think on record we have 178 different type formations that they've run in our breakdown. So, you know, a lot of different personnel groupings. Defensively, they're going to be very solid. I think they're extremely well-coached football team. When you look at their offensive line, I think they pass things off very well. You don't really know who the quarterback is going to be at this point, but they have four of them that they're working. So, obviously, the guy who comes out of that is going to be pretty good. But, you know, they're a little bit of an unknown in certain positions because they've lost some guys, but they're an extremely well-coached team. And all I do is just keep looking at 73-6, which is Coach Peterson's record overall. And you don't have to go much beyond that. They're going to be a very good football team. That will be a great challenge for us our first game. And, you know, we've grown a lot of respect for them just in the time since we've been watching them since whenever, January or I guess February.
A lot of respect they hold out and they talk with about the Boise State. Boise's like Michigan State in very similar ways. They've got a lot of new players they'll be introducing. Like Michigan State, they'll be having a new starting quarterback and a lot of other issues. So it'll be interesting. Two teams that are still both supposed to be very good, but they are very similar wise. So that's why it's going to be a very good first game starting out against Boise State. A very good team. That'll be a good contest for the Spartans. Who knows who will win that one? In all honesty, it should be a very good contest. You have to give it to the Spartans, basically, just because they've got the home field advantage. But other than that, that should be a very good contest. But it looks like between two teams that are evenly matched. Well, let's look at some of the other players and some of the other players I had a chance to talk to. One of them was Terrence Samuels, who's the receivers coach. And Samuel talked about the team's blocking and how all these new receivers, how they're taking to. I asked him how they were taking to the blocking and doing blocking.
With the blocking, there is a physical component to it, and that's what we need to get started getting into scrimmage situations and actually being physical. They know where to go, but will you be physical when it's time to be physical? Will you hit the guy before you get hit? You know, and you know, with some of the wide receivers, you know, as a whole, they might not be considered the most physical guys. So, but I think our guys here, they understand that if we get a block, if we get that block on that third level, Le'Veon Bell might go the distance. So,
yes, that's a good chance if they complete their blocks and they get those, like you say, like he said, on the third level. Yeah, Le'Veon Bell and Larry Caper will have a chance to go the distance. Well, also, of course, we had to ask him about DeAnthony Arnett, who's going to be one of the receivers in the playing group. Don't know if he'll be the starter or not, but he should be. He will be in the playing group. So let's hear what Coach Samuel has to say about DeAnthony Arnett.
I really been impressed with DeAnthony because I wanted him to come in and learn the offense and don't worry about making mistakes during the spring. He did that. He came in. He had some drops, but you know what? He's going better now. He's understanding the offense. He's lining up. He's playing faster. So I've really been impressed with how he's went about his business thus far. So now, like I said, he just needs to continue on with the same progress. It's not perfect. He's not Keyshawn or BJ yet. Okay, we don't have those guys yet. Those guys are gone. We're trying to groom them and get them better. But I like where we are right now, and these guys are getting better.
And that's the key. They have to get better. Not only, you know, in one practice, they got to get better each and every practice, each and every day. That's the goal, to try to get the players, all of them, to get better. And one of the things the coaches have said to me and others that, you know, one of the things they want players to get better, try to get a third better than what you were yesterday. So if you can improve like that, and if you can keep improving like that and just get a little bit better each and every day, that'll do a great deal with helping the team and how far you think the team will get. Well, also, we had a chance to talk with Ted Gill, and Ted Gill, the defensive line coach, and he talked about Tyler Hoover.
He's a guy who's been in our program a long time, and for him to move inside and pick up the things that he's picked up, I've been pleasantly pleased with him. Because most guys, you move inside, it's a whole another year. He's picked it up. I think he's heard the calls and understands what we want, and I've been really pleased with him at this point.
And then we're talking, one of the big concerns that I had was the backups and who they have as far as the backups in reserve. So I chatted with Dave Warner, and he talked about some of the backups.
Our lack of experience, not to be confused with lack of talent at the wide receiver position. I think Benny obviously has more experience than anybody, and I'm sure there's a confidence factor there just because of previous years, plus, you know, the summer. The spring and the summer, the summer especially, as Benny got healthy, I know they've worked very hard, hand in hand, and I'm sure there's a pretty good confidence level as far as Benny being the guy. But again, Benny's got to go out and do it too. You know, he did it in a reserve role years ago. Now he's got to do it as being the guy at that position.
Have you already settled on a backup quarterback yet, or is Connor
the
guy, or are you still
looking? No, I think certainly Connor's been here a little bit and knows the offense simply by the fact that he's been here. Ty's got a lot of ability, and we're giving him a lot of reps. He's getting a lot of opportunities, as we're doing with all the freshmen. That's what we're trying to do early on, at least through the first few practices here. Find out who those freshmen are talent-wise that might be able to help us and sort of push them along a little bit more at quarterback, at wide receiver, at other positions. But those guys are getting a lot of opportunities. But the bottom line is, like a lot of positions, the backup position is open. Certainly, Connor's got the head start on him, but we'll see what happens down the road. That's why we're in practice right now.
What do you see from Tyler O'Connell?
I see, again, a kid, someone that we saw throw live. So he's got the arm strength. He's got the quick release. Probably the biggest thing that we saw from him was even back in February when he showed up here. He's got a little bit of that it factor to him, I guess, that you like in a quarterback. Confident and very on top of his game. Now he's a long way from learning our offense, but he's gradually getting there. And I think when he, like is with the case with every quarterback, before they understand the play, where to throw it, when to throw it. That's what's consuming their mind, so their footwork and everything else is all out of whack. So until they know all those things about our offense and can just play football, you know, there's some catching up to do. And that's where he's at right now.
And that was Dave Warner, the quarterback's coach, talking about some of the backups. I also wanted to let you hear about the Mekhi winner, Reynolds, that is, who from Lansing Sexton, 6'5". He's played defense and offense, and he's looks like he's going to be on defense for now. I was chatting with Ted Gill, and this is what he had to say about Mekhi Reynolds.
He really has been a pleasant surprise. You know, he's continued to get better and better, and he's growing up. I think from a standpoint of getting older, I think a lot of times we as people in any type of situation we're in, we get older and wiser, and I think he's reached a point in his career that he feels, hey, I just need to get better and start learning this stuff, and I've been really pleased with where he is at this point.
And that's Ted Gill, defensive line coach, talking about Mekhi Reynolds. Also, we had a chance to talk with Harlan Barnett, the defensive backs coach, about what he learned when he went to the Black Coaches Association Conference.
And it was awesome. I thought it was great. My evaluation of it was continue to keep this going because you can learn a lot. You can learn a lot. And met a lot of different athletic directors down there, different people from the NCAA, had media training. It was really good. It was intense and it was good.
Will this help you, or how will it help you if you to get a head coaching job one day? Will it help with as far as learning about the interview process and all that?
It did. They took us through mock interviews and all that, so it will help us. It helped us as far as that was concerned. It helped us open our minds to what is expected of a college head football coach nowadays, where some things, even though I'm in the business, didn't realize. Even being close to Coach D'Antonio as I am as an assistant coach, didn't realize some of the stuff that he goes through behind the scenes and all that kind of stuff. They even use the term, you're the CEO. You're not the head coach, you're a CEO. And that's how you have to start thinking as a CEO as opposed to as a head football coach. So it was really informative. It was really good.
And that's Harlan Barnett, and he's talking about when he went to a conference, and that was very recently to the NCAA conference that they had, and he learned a lot from that conference. So hopefully somewhere down the line that'll help him when he's ready to challenge and get become a head coach. The time right now is 18 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, so stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870. WKAR.
You know, he showed.
The Bipartisan Cybersecurity Act of 2012 failed last week in the Senate despite growing alarm in the national security world about vulnerabilities in the nation's critical infrastructure. I'm Tom Gelton, Emerging Cyber Threats and the Future of Cybersecurity. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl with a look at the weather. Our high today, 88 degrees, and it'll be mostly sunny. There's a chance some rain and thunderstorms will move in tonight with a low of 62. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high of 85. Thursday, mostly cloudy with rain likely, maybe thunderstorms, and a high in the mid-70s.
And the time, 20 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock, give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, now we're going to bring in our good friend Jeff Chedia from ESPN, and he writes for ESPN, and we're going to talk a little bit of NFL and some of the other things going on with Jeff. So let's bring in our good friend Jeff Chedia. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing, Earl?
Okay. It's good to talk with you again. I know it's been a while since we've had a chance to talk, and I want to talk to you a little bit about the NFL, and as you've known, and everyone is sort of surprised that that Vilma might get his sentences reduced. It looks like this challenge that he's challenging, the NFL on, it doesn't look like they really wanted to have that go on much longer. If they can talk him in to maybe, lessening what he wants to, because he – even though I'm sort of surprised, he's been saying, though, that he wants to keep it going, and, you know, he's not going to take a buyout. So do you think he'll take a buyout, or what do you think he's going to do?
You know, I've met Jonathan Vilma before. I know he's a very principled athlete, you know, a high-character guy, despite what's going on here. And I can understand his passion for wanting to defend his reputation. My sense is that he'll probably end up settling if they give him a deal that makes sense. At the end of the day, you're talking about $5.4 million you're going to lose for the season. If he could get that cut in half, even, that would be, and having a chance to be on the field with his teammates, those things are going to be bigger factors than just his pride right now. But yeah, I do suspect that if he were able to get a deal to his liking, he would jump on it.
Yes, because he's been saying that he really wouldn't accept a deal, but now it looks like he might. And we know that Goodell wants to get rid of it. He doesn't want, he has to give everything to a judge, why he did what he did. And I know he doesn't want that out there either. Also, what do you think is going to happen with the union? It seems like the union has been taking a lot of hits lately.
Well, and rightly so. I mean, and some of this stuff is not really the fault of the current leadership. I mean, DeMora Smith has only been in there for three years, I think is what it's been now. I think he inherited some problems, including what's happening with this personal conduct issue that are way too big to deal with. I have to disagree with you. I think if they went into a court of law that the NFL might have a pretty decent argument, because the power that Roger Goodell had was collectively bargained. You know, it didn't just come from the NFL. The NFL players agreed to give him that power. So, if he feels things are, you know, hurting the integrity of the game, he has the power to act on that. But I do think that, you know, the way things went out with the lockout last year, I know I've heard players complain a little bit about some of the things that they're getting back. You know, I think the players probably compromised a little bit too much in hindsight to get the season started last year, and maybe some guys aren't happy about that now.
Yes, because one of the things I know I've heard a lot about from the player side is that, everyone thought that the players would get more money. You know, sure, they don't mind making sure that the rookies get less money, which they got less money, but a lot of players thought that excess money would go to them. And it doesn't look like, I know a few players got some very good money, but it doesn't look like the overall players are thinking that contract did them a lot of good.
Well, I think next year is when teams have to spend up to, I think, one of the 90% or 95% of the cap. So I think you'll see more players happy about that. You won't have teams like Cincinnati or other teams that have notoriously been cheap in previous years trying to hold on to their cash. They have to spend that money so that there will be more money to go around. But, yeah, I mean, look, the NFL – it's not the NBA. It's not Major League Baseball. Players will always be complaining about their money situation because they don't have guaranteed contracts, and they don't really have, for whatever reason, the PR skills to make people dislike what management does. I mean, even when the lockout was going on, you know, the management, all owners always had the luxury of knowing they had a lot more money in their war chest, TV contracts and whatnot, than the players ever did. So that's always going to be an issue.
Yeah, so do you ever see a time where maybe players can, or do you see a time where players might really go for free agency, or is that basically dead now? I mean, we know it's dead for the next 7 or 8 years, but do you think that will always be dead, or do you think players will one day really try to get free agency?
Well, they've got, you know, I mean, you're talking about free agency in the sense of they can go wherever they want.
Right.
Do a franchise tag, things of that nature.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. But again, it's like the players only have so much they can fight with and fight for in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And that comes back to the fact that they're not around very long. And, NBA guys can play 10 years. Major League Baseball guys can play 15 years. That's a heck of that's a lot more security. And allows you to feel more comfortable fighting bigger battles. I mean, with every NFL career is 3 years, it's hard to get guys to think about, hey, let's let me take a sacrifice for the next guy who comes by. I know I'll be in the game,
yeah.
you know, 10, 11 years. Maybe yeah. that guy's going to be gone in like 2 years. So there's always going to be more of an urgency to get what you can get now yeah. and worry about issues down the road in the NFL.
Okay. What do you hear about the concussion issues? Because what I hear they're up to maybe they'll have about 20-something thousand people have gotten hits or about the hits, concussions. So we know they're doing a lot better job of trying to help monitor concussions. But do you see that maybe that if somehow that suit really gets going, that could be a big hindrance to the NFL if they win it?
I think the NFL is more concerned about that than anything else. And, you know, and I've heard some players say, look, there's some guys who were involved in that suit who were just doing a money grab. They're
yeah.
just looking
yeah, yeah.
to get some cash out of it. So they're hopping on that train. But, you know, the NFL, again, Roger Goodell, like DeMora Smith, inherited some issues that were way beyond his control. I mean, the NFL did not do a good job of really dealing with concussions, of really explaining to players the dangers of concussions, the issues long-term, and now they're trying to, like, do whatever they can to right the ship. But I do think, you know, when you talk about the Junior Seaus and the Dave Duersons and people who, you know, who are dead now because of what's going on, that's pretty powerful evidence. I would imagine they're going to have a hard time once this thing goes to court proving that they were in the right.
Yes, I know. One thing with players, you know, in talking with other former players and that, you know, the problem for so many players don't like to tell, and understandably, you know, the trainers and the doctors, that they're hurt. A lot of players will put up with the concussions issues and syndrome just because they don't, you know, they know if they let on that they're hurt, that they won't get back on the field, which means they won't get paid. Is that still a big problem of players being honest about their health issues?
Oh, it's a major issue, and it's a cultural thing. I mean, we all know football is a very tough game, and you don't get credit for not being tough. So, I mean, everybody, from the time that they were kids starting to play this game, has been taught to play through things, to not
yes.
be a wimp. And I think when you're a 20-something, 30-something-year-old man, and your livelihood depends on this, and again, this goes back to not having guaranteed contracts, having very short careers, guys – feel even more, feel like they have to do even more to stay on the field, to keep their jobs. That all plays into it. You know, you'd hope there would be a day where, you know, ideally you'd have independent doctors on sidelines determining whether a guy can play or not. There'd be no punishment or consequences for not playing through things. But the NFL is trying to get to that point now, and you hope it gets there because you have to take that element out of the game. Guys have to be protected from themselves.
Oh, for sure. Well, let's talk about the games coming up. The season will be coming up in less than a month. You know, us here in Michigan, people are very excited about the Detroit Lions, and Matthew Stafford's had a great year last year. Do you think he can duplicate what he did last year? He's got maybe the best receiver in the league we're talking about right now, Calvin Johnson. So what do you see for the Detroit Lions?
I would think that he definitely can, you know, do what he did. Now, is he going to throw for 5,000 yards again? That might be a stretch, but certainly I could see him up in the 4,800 category, you know, back around 40 touchdowns, 35, 40 touchdowns, and certainly Calvin Johnson. Like, they were doing it last year without a running game and without really, you know, he didn't have great receivers around him. Now you've got Tyus Young is a year older. You know, Nate Burleson is still, you know, a decent veteran. You know, they've got Scheffler and Pettigrew in the mix. I don't think Calvin Johnson's got to catch 100 balls to be effective, but I think that offense would be really good if you have a number of guys right around the 70, 80 catch mark. If you've got three or four guys catching that many balls, you're going to be pretty explosive. You know, the bigger issue for them is two things, really. One is their running game, you know, is – Can Michael LeShore be the guy they hoped he was going to be? Because Javis Best has obviously got serious issues with those concussions, and can they put a lot of the distractions from the offseason behind them? You know, things, guys getting arrested. You know, people can poo-poo it all they want and say it gets overblown, but when you've got guys who aren't doing the right things in the offseason and getting in trouble, that reflects back on their discipline and their focus, and those guys have to grow up fast.
Oh, that's for sure. We got a caller for you. Got John on the line. John, how you doing?
how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I just got my Lions tickets in the mail the other day. I got season tickets this season. What are my Lions going to make? How far are they going to go in the playoffs this year? That's my question for your guest.
Okay. Your question was what again? How far the Lions will get in the playoffs?
Yeah, how far are they going to go this year? I think they're going to go a step further than they went last year.
Okay. Yes, Jeff, he wants to know, how far do you think the Lions will go this year?
I think they could win a wild card game. I think they can get to the second round this year. And I think that they probably would have won a wild card game last year if they'd had a better circumstance. I mean, New Orleans is a tough draw. And, sure, you know, they were banged up down the stretch. But, you know, if they can stay healthy to the end of the season, and really, you know, if their front four is, it can be as dominant as it should be, I like them. I like their chance in the playoffs because, really, I can't see them winning a division with Green Bay in it, but certainly I think that they can certainly compete with a team that'll be in the running for a wild card spot.
We just need a running game. All the running backs seem to be hurt or getting in trouble with the law or something, man. I don't know what's going on with those guys.
Yeah, that is a problem. And it's just, you know, I know Jim Schwartz will always tell you that, you know, please let me know when you get more points for passing, for a rushing touchdown versus a passing touchdown. I mean, the good news is they, when you figure out the quarterback and you've got a weapon like Calvin Johnson, you know, you can overcome a lot of issues. But I when you look at the teams that have won championships recently, even Green Bay 2 years ago, they got a little bit of a running game, which was enough. You need to have that to go deep in the playoffs.
Have one of the best police blotter teams in the league.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, that's crazy. I don't know why all those guys can't stay out of trouble, man. Is it too much temptation or what?
Well, I think a lot of it is just, you know, immaturity, especially when you're going back home and you've got money in your pocket and, you know, you're the big man in town and you know, you've been in play. A lot of these guys, they were getting arrested in places where, you know, they're smaller towns. They probably have always had somebody take care of things or hook them up or get them out of trouble. And all of a sudden, you get hit with something and all of a sudden it's national news. It's not just, so-and-so the high school player, so-and-so the star from Auburn, it's so-and-so Detroit Lions. And people pick that up, you know. So they have to learn that they can't, you know. I always find it amazing that guys are smoking pot in their cars, you know. But don't smoke it in your house, you know. And that's not hard.
Yeah, Jeff, now, one thing that we've seen with all these guys with, you know, getting in trouble and such, they've got more time on their hand. You know, this collective bargaining agreement, they negotiated to get more free time on their hands. Of course, that keeps them out of the training camps and some of the things they've done. And that seems to be a part of the problem. They say, you know, the players just now have too much time on their hands.
Yeah, that's definitely a factor. And I know the players felt like that was a big win for them, having less time around the facility in the off season. And I think for the guys who are veterans and have been around the league a long time and understand how to take care of their bodies, it is a good thing. I mean, you definitely can get burned out, and most guys will tell you that they gain a lot from being in off season programs. But again, there is a pattern here. You look at a lot of the guys who've been in trouble, not just in Detroit but around the league this off season. Most of them have been younger guys, and I think that's because they get to a level where they don't really understand that, you know, the things that happen in college, the things you get in trouble with in college, can't be controlled anymore. And we all know there's a lot of things that happen on college campuses that never get reported. You know, it's not like a guy starts getting busted with marijuana once he becomes a pro player. He probably was doing it when he was in college and nobody said anything. Or when it happened, maybe the campus police kind of brushed it off or told the coach, and the kid got suspended for a game and that was it. But it's a different story when you're a professional and you're a grown man, because people are going to pay attention to what you do, and you're going to be, your reputation is going to be based upon those kinds of mistakes.
Yes, and that thing, you know, when you look at these the college kids and they're trying to get to the pros, you would think they would use a little bit more common sense. So many of them get in trouble, and then all of a sudden you hear that they've done all this stuff in college when you know you didn't hear about it before. Now they're getting ready to be a pro, and it all comes out on them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you look at the Lions situation, all the guys who got in trouble, they had red flags around them when they were in college.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Nick Fairley, LeSure, the kid Barry, who's gone now, a lot of these guys, people were talking about, hey, is their character right? Are they mature enough? So it's not a surprise when those things happen. Now, I do agree with what Jim Schwartz said, because I was in town a couple of weeks ago, and that they have a lot of leadership on the Lions. You know, the Staffers, the Calvin Johnsons, the Kyle Vandenbosch's and Dominic Raiola's, those guys, they police that locker room. And I think they set a standard that the younger kids can follow. So hopefully, this stuff is behind the lines because they have too much to look forward to. The last thing you want is for them to become what the Cincinnati Bengals became a few years ago, where they finally got over the hump and put all their bad years behind them and won the division. And then two or three years later, they got the police blotter filled up and everybody's in trouble and the team's not winning again. That can happen that fast for you.
Yes. Now, when you look at this division that the Lions are in with Green Bay and Chicago, Minnesota, it seems like Green Bay, Chicago are going to be strong again this year, especially if Jay Cutler can stay healthy. You might be looking at another team with strong playoff potential. That's going to be a tough division with those three teams. And Minnesota still got some defensive players. I know they're not strongest offensively, but they've got a few players left. So that looks like that's going to be a pretty strong division this year.
Yeah, I think it's pretty hard to go around the league and find a division that's going to be stronger. You can make a case for the NFC East. I don't think Dallas is as strong as the third best team in the NFC North. The AFC North, you can make a case for them with the Steelers and the Ravens and maybe the Bengals if they're as good as they were last year. But for my money, if you're picking one division, you got to go with Packers, Bears, Lions, because all three of those teams can be really explosive this year. They've all got playoff experience and guys who've been around for a long time, star players. So I imagine there's going to be some serious battles going on. And yeah, I think Chicago will be a lot better now that they've got a proven receiver there with Brandon Marshall helping out Jay Cutler. I think getting rid of Mike Martz and bringing in Mike Tyson as the offensive coordinator is going to give a lot more balance and a lot more stability to their offense. I can see Cutler's pass protection being a lot better this year. I think that their defense certainly has got some guys who've been around a while with Urlacher and Charles Tillman, Lance Briggs. You wonder about the guys getting up there in age still being able to make the plays they've made in the past, but they're going to be tough. I mean, people forget they were 7-3 last year.
Yes.
And looking pretty good until Jay Cutler went down and Matt Forte went down 2 weeks later. So I think as long as they're healthy, they're going to be in the mix.
Yes. When you look at some of the other teams, I was thinking of like Denver and some of the other teams out there and some of the teams that have rookie quarterbacks. I mean, when you look at all the rookie quarterbacks, and that's the thing in the NFL, it looks like now they're more amenable to giving rookies a chance to play in the start right away. We used to be, those days, 2 or 3 years, you'd wait, you wouldn't see a rookie until 2 or 3 years. Well, now they're out there throwing them out there and putting them in the mix. So when you look at all the rookie quarterbacks, which ones do you think will have the most success?
I would say, success is relative because it's, some of these guys aren't going to be playing on winning teams. I don't see Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin III, playing on winning teams. I don't see Ryan Tannehill playing a lot, but if I had to pick one guy in the first year, I would think Luck would be individually the guy most likely to do well because I think they're going to build the offense around him and give him a chance to do what he does well. Whereas a guy like Griffin, he's going to be learning a new offense with Mike Shanahan and trying to fit into a system. And I think the big factor I see in young quarterbacks being able to play early is that what you don't see, like 10, 15 years ago, you had all these offensive gurus or offensive geniuses running around and everybody had a system and you had to get a guy to fit into your system. Now you see coaches saying, let me see what my quarterback does well. Let me play to his strength. Let me get him comfortable. Give him a chance to make some plays, and let's build from that. I mean, that's a big thing that Carolina did with Cam Newton. It's a big thing that Cincinnati did with Andy Dalton last year, and you saw those guys really prosper because they weren't overwhelmed by what they had to do. They were doing things that were in their comfort zone, and I mean, that's what good coaching is. It's not about really showing how smart you are. It's about showing how well you can relate to your players and get the most out of them. So I think you'll probably see more teams doing those kind of things. Even when he wasn't a rookie, Denver Broncos did the same thing with Tim Tebow. They basically said, let's build an offense that works for him. And they won. you know, and they want some games with them. So I think you'll see more of that.
Yes, I'm sort of curious to see how Brandon Whedon does in Cleveland. I mean, he's a little bit older rookie, but I really want to see how. And I know Cleveland's going to struggle probably a lot. That's one of those teams that they've got some talent, but you know, when you look at overall, they don't have a ton of talent there, do they?
No. Yeah. I mean, that's an understatement. It's like, I don't know if they have any real talent there. I mean, they got some guys who have some big names, but you'd be hard-pressed to get the average person to name five Cleveland Browns. You know, I think, you know, even and I kind of agree with Jim Brown about Trent Richardson. I think he's a very solid player. I don't know if he's exceptional.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to get a lot of run. He's going to have a lot of weight on his back, and he's going to have to be a 30-carry guy for them because the Whedon's going to need to grow. They don't really have any real weapons in the passing game to help him out, and their defense is suspect. So there's going to be a lot of growing pains down there.
Hey, Jeff, I want to thank you for being with me. Always a pleasure talking with you and talking NFL as we get ready for the upcoming season. Or are you getting ready for your fantasy league, or do you play fantasy football?
I used to play, but I lost so much in the championship game, I just got disillusioned by it. So I think I'm just going to watch the game.
Just going to watch it.
And leave all the frustration to everybody else.
Okay, my friend. Hey, it's good talking with you, and I'll call you again, and we'll talk real soon about the NFL.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Jeff Tadea with ESPN, and he writes for them, and he writes about the NFL. The time, 41 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The demand for doctors and nurses is expected to soar in coming years, but there's a problem. The country's nurses are getting older.
And they are going to leave in droves.
And doctors are already in short supply. I'm Tom Gelton, the country's doctor and nurse shortage. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Mostly sunny and a high in the upper 80s today. Tonight's low 62 with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-80s tomorrow. Thursday will be mostly cloudy with rain likely, and there's a chance of thunderstorms too. Thursday's high 75. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's hear a little bit more from some of the coaches and players at Michigan State here. Let's hear what quarterbacks coach Dave Warner had to say about Andrew Maxwell and his knowledge of the game. He's really grown in his knowledge of the game. He's very impressed with how much he knows.
Ball savvy?
Probably, yeah. You know, he showed right off the bat when he arrives here. And even before that, when we had him in camp, he showed that he's got the physical tools. He's got the arm strength. He's got the release. He's got the physical size. You know, he's got a little bit of athletic ability to him. So he showed that early on. And I think that the biggest assets he got going for him right now has been just what you said, George. I think it's been his ability to understand the offense and to know where to throw it, when to throw it. And he's learned that, like I said, he's continued to learn that through the years. And he stepped in right from day one, too, after our bowl game. And we talked the next morning after the Champs Bowl or the Outback Bowl that it's your turn. And he took that and ran with it right from the get-go as far as leadership. He's done a great job of that. So.
And let's hear from a couple of players. One player is Tyler Hoover, and I had a chance to talk with Tyler. You know, Tyler made a big move last year. He was a defensive end, and now he's playing inside. He's playing the tackle, so he went from end to playing tackle. And I asked him, what was the challenge of that? How well did he make that adjustment to the switch of jobs?
Right. It's great. The fact that I'm able to do it is, you know, more exciting for me. There's definitely some changes and challenges, you know, that you went through. just because you get used to, you know, coming off the edge to getting hit from two ways. And the biggest difference was probably leverage, you know, getting lower and attacking from, you know, bottom to up, and, you know, it's fun.
What do you do to improve on last year? What techniques have you developed to make you do better this year?
Right. Definitely, again, it's leverage. You know, it's staying low, you know, being able to pop up under someone and extend your arms and having, you know, the length to, you know, go either way.
Yes, and we also had a chance to talk with Michigan State's premier cornerback, one of the best in the country, Johnny Adams. And here's what Johnny had to say about playing corner.
I've been learning, you know. I just think every year I get better. I get better. And I just work on my craft.
How is the scheme fit? And what you do as far as changing the schemes over there? Does Coach Narduli change schemes every year? You just have to refine what you've been doing every year.
I mean, he tweaks them. He doesn't change them a big part. But he tweaks them, and we do a little things different. But at the most majority, it's the same.
How's coverage been for you? Like, you got better and better doing coverage every year, covering guys every year. Has that just been stronger, or has that basically been the same? Have you found out a way to get better each and every year?
I found out a way to get better. From guys who will leave and come back, or guys who already left, and I get pointers to get better in my technique, and I think I done got better every year.
How much does that help you when the guys come back and you have to learn more, learn the NFL techniques? Does that help you? It's the college game. Is that a plus, or is that a little bit of detriment because they play, some of them have to play so differently?
Well, they play so differently, but some of the guys who come back, like Ronaldo Hill, he helps me out. He's been helping me out. And he's gone now, but he's been helping me out like two spring balls ago with my technique and how to play and man and different things. So he helped me out a lot.
And that was Johnny Adams, who's getting better, and he's going to be one of the premier cornerbacks in the Big Ten. And not only in the Big Ten, he'll be featured all around when you look at cornerbacks as maybe one of the best in the entire country. The time right now is 48 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's hear what offensive coordinator Dan Roschar says about the reserves and how Michigan State is stacking up with those reserve players.
You know what? Connor Cook is so much further along than he was, obviously, very early in the spring. So that's a real positive. He's starting to show the ability to be what I think a very capable backup right now. We've gone through two practices. I think we'll know a lot more about his progress. We'll know a lot more about his decision-making and his accuracy as we go and his ability to lead the football team. That'll, I think, be just the process we take through camp. You get past him, I'm looking at the backup roles. I'm a little concerned, more so because it's very early in camp right now, who will emerge as our second or third tight end and what their role will be. Looking at the wide receiver play right now, I think we have a pretty good idea who the five guys are right now, possibly a sixth. But in those guys, I think probably just identifying what they do very well and trying to get to those things early in the season. As we talk often, you know, schemes are only so good. The players make those plays, and we have to make sure that we're putting those guys in the right position, not asking them to do things they can't do, asking them to do the things that they do very well. And I think that's probably the biggest challenge for our staff as those guys fill those roles.
And then I had a chance to ask Andrew Maxwell about pressure on him because he's got to follow a quarterback who took them to 2 11-win seasons. So back-to-back 11-win seasons. So I asked Andrew Maxwell, does he feel any pressure on leading a team that's been so successful?
I think it depends how you label that feeling. You know, you can label it pressure, you can label it excitement, you can label it opportunity. It's just a sign of where our program's at. When you have those kinds of seasons, your goals get elevated for the next year. And that's why every one of us who is sitting here and every one of us on this team today, that's why we signed our letter of intent. We wanted to be on a team that's competing for Rose Bowl, that's competing for BCS games. We didn't sign on to be part of a 6-6 team. We didn't sign on to be part of a team who plays their last game at the end of November and then is done till spring ball. You know, we signed on to play in bowl games. We signed on to play in big bowl games. So following up those 2 11-win seasons, we just have excitement to keep it going.
What about how does that manifest in your learning experience? You've learned so much, so you don't put any extra pressure on yourself. How does that manifest itself?
I think it's seeing what it took in the past to have that success and continue it now and instilling that in the young guys and just really showing them what it takes. I mean, we're not good enough yet just to roll our helmets out there and win 11 games. It takes the work. It takes the extra time winning conditioning. It takes extra time in the meeting room. It takes staying after practice and working on stuff that maybe you weren't happy with that day. So seeing the work we put in the past, seeing how that translated into success, the guys that have been here and the guys who saw that happen, we're just going to keep rolling that over and hopefully turn that into more successful seasons like we've had.
And yes, and then we also had a chance to talk with the offensive line coach, Mike Stanton, and here's what he had to say on how all the linemen are learning to be better players.
Tremendously as an individual, absolutely. You have to get a little stronger, understand where your pads are, your elbows are, your knees are, your ankles are. I mean, there's a lot of that that goes with it, as we all know, in any position on the football field. So the more you do on that field, the more you feel comfortable, the more confidence you gain, the more confidence becomes gives you the ability to kind of unleash it and let it go a little bit more and not worry. Well, what if he goes inside? Well, if he goes inside, there's a guy there to take him, if that is in the scheme. So it's – now the pads just go on today. So these are two-day non-shell practice thoughts. But, you know, we'll be able to tell more after today. Feel really good with that first unit. Second-year unit starting to make some strides. Make me happy. And then, you know, third and fours, and they work hard, and they're starting to know what to do a little bit better and get their feet under them.
Is that the toughest for the third and four, or the young players, the freshmen, just learning how to do what to do in every aspect?
They're learning a new language. Think about it. You know, if you're learning Spanish or learning Japanese, you don't come the next day, you know, after studying it for a day and you know it flawlessly. So that's what it is. That's what football is. It's like learning a language where you're trying to put all the things together and conjugate the vowel, conjugate the verbs, is it right, and all that, with where the vowels go and all that stuff. And it's a process. So I'm glad the guys are where they're at in the process, and I'm happy to be working with the guys I'm working with.
Absolutely. And then we chatted with Mark D'Antonio, and he talked about, you know, what his goals are, not just wins and losses. He says it's more to the game than just wins and losses. His goal is to make sure the guys do the right things, they graduate, and they make for a good life. And here's what Mark D'Antonio says, what he does and what he believes coaching is.
You coach, I believe, coach because it's competitive, because it's exciting, all those different things. It's challenging, but I honestly think you coach because of your love for people, and if you want to impact young people, you want to see people grow, you want to have people graduating, you want to have people get on with their life, get married. Joel Foreman got married this year. Some other players, Sori Kanu, played for us in 95 to 99, was married this year. You know, Rocker Cerrone married this year. We want to wish them all the best. And those are just a couple. Otis Wiley got married this summer. So you're looking for them to see how they move in their life. And I think that's what coaching is. Coaching is just an extension of teaching. It's just an opportunity to teach in athletics. And as you said, you know, there's a lot of time, a lot of days where you're not actively playing a football game. You're just getting ready. But you're getting ready for other things than just football. You're getting ready for all those challenges that life is going to bring you. And those are the positive things. And that's what you have to draw from. Because if you just want to win, there's only 14 opportunities, and you're going to be so driven, and you're going to be very depressed when you don't win, and I'm not going to be built that way. And nor do I ever want to be defined here in terms of how many games we won. I'm not naive, but I also want to be defined in terms of what we've done for our players and people. I think that's where our entire staff is built. From Ken Manning to our academics, to Todd Edwards academically, to to Jeff Monroe and Sally Nogle in our training area, to our secretaries. Our program is built like that, and it should remain like that if we do it right.
And Aaron, that was very appropriate, some of the things that Coach D'Antonio was saying there. So, you know, that's what a lot of people say, but a lot of times we brush that off, you know. But coaches really do, and he really do mean, I mean, he's really sincere, and he means what he says about trying to help the kids be better people and be better for the rest of their life, and that's one of the goals of coaching.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is sincere, and I think I agree with you that I think we've all seen in the past where coaches, they say that, but you can kind of tell that, yeah. You know, they, I better say just, you know, because they got to say it. But I do believe that D'Antonio does, you know, he believes in that wholeheartedly. You know, I think the entire staff believes that as well. And, you know, they understand, you know, football's a big thing here at State and in the nation overall. But the reality is some of these guys aren't going to go to the NFL. A lot of these guys aren't going to go to the NFL. And they got to be successful, you know, without football. So, you know, it's part of their job to let them, you know, come out of college, come out of the football, and go and be successful in other things besides football. And the fact that the staff realizes that and that they're all on the same page for that and that the players are buying into that, I think that's a great thing for the organization, for the school, and for the football team. And, you know, I think you're going to see more and more of that around the nation. Not that you're not seeing it already, but I think with, you know, some of the things, I think for a handful of years there, I think football kind of got, you know, a little carried out of the way. But I think it still is in certain aspects, but I think it's more going toward the area of people are realizing, okay, we do got to prepare for these students besides football. You know, it's important because if they can't do football, well, they got to do something else.
Oh, so true. And yes, that's what they, you're right. I think that they are starting to buy into it slowly. Players still, you know, their first goal obviously is to get to the NFL, which is fine. But, you know, I think you just need to prepare yourself to do something else in case you don't make it. I know most of them, if you tell them that what you're going to do if you don't make it in the league, well, you might get hit. You better duck. So, because most of them think they're good enough to get in the NFL, just like so many players think they're good enough to play in the NBA. You know, that's not going to happen, but, you know, you need to prepare yourself to do something else and to do something else with your life. And hopefully, like you say, more and more players are doing that, and hopefully we'll read about more players being more successful and doing other things with their own life as they go ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, it's no easy task. I mean, we've talked about how much time these guys put in for football year in and year out. Sure, they have an off season, but the reality is once the season starts, that's their life is football. You know, sure, they still got to keep their grades up, still got to go to class and all that good stuff. But the reality is most of their time is spent doing football things. That's just how things go. So, you know, I can sit here and complain about how much work I have to do in class. Well, those guys got 100 times worse than I do. So, you know, if you're an athlete in college, whether it's football, you know, it's not even just football. I think just college overall, these people put a lot of time in. These students put in a lot of time in the program that they're in, but they also put a lot of time in their academics and you know, there's a lot of them that, you know, don't go on to be professional athletes and they end up being successful in many other things. So that's just great to see here at State and hopefully, you know, great to see all over the country as well.
Yes. Give us a call. Actually, we're just about out of time. So come back and join us tomorrow here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio. AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. And we want to hear from you, hear what you say, and some of the things if you had any thoughts on anything that the coaches or Michigan State players have said. We'd like to hear from you and get your thoughts on it as they get ready for the upcoming season. A little bit later on, we'll talk more about the upcoming season and what we sort of expect they'll do. It's a little bit difficult year to suggest what they're going to figure out what they're going to do, but we'll try to do that a little bit later on. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. We'll see you tomorrow right here on WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.